Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 13. In verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Have you ever experienced this? You were hoping for something and it didn't come? It makes the heart sick. It weakens the heart. It makes you tired. It actually wears down your frame of reference. There's a tendency sometimes when we expect something from God, usually that's an answer to prayer, can be other things also. And it doesn't come, then we start to question things. And when we do that, it tires us out. And it makes us weak. You don't want to get to that place. It's actually a place that no Christian ever has to be in. Even though God may not immediately answer you, even though God may not immediately bring things to pass. Remember, there's a million different reasons why God may not answer today. Sometimes it has to do with growth. Sometimes it has to do with other people. If I have a prayer and it involves other people and I don't even know about that, then God's going to wait on the other people also. If I have a prayer and I want to be, let's say, a missionary or something, and it doesn't come to pass right away, that's got a ton of other people involved. Maybe my own capacity isn't there. Whatever the reason, God doesn't always answer immediately. Sometimes He does, but often He doesn't. And sometimes, and it doesn't have to be a prayer, it can be anything, but when God doesn't act, when we think He should be acting, that weakens us. That causes us to question. Sometimes we doubt Him because of it. Sometimes we doubt God's promises regarding things like prayer or our call or what have you because of it. And it weakens our frame of reference. It makes the heart sick. There is a way to avoid that because nobody really needs to get to that place. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Word of God says that God puts eternity in our heart so that we can understand what God's doing from beginning to end. If I have an eternal perspective on things, in other words, if I see things the way God sees them, and I can do that through the Word of God, then I will start to understand, maybe not the details, maybe not the specifics of why, but I'll start to understand purpose. I'll start to understand the plan of God. When I was called to be a pastor, I was in my early 20s. It took 17 years for God to actually bring me into that. Part of that was training. But part of that was just plain waiting. Sometimes God will send you into things just to reach you. Because He's always interested in reaching you first. He doesn't want you trying to reach somebody else before He reaches you. He's always interested in reaching you first, in working on you first, in building you first, in building you up first. Always. Hope deferred can make the heart sick. Sometimes we don't receive an answer to prayer, but we just don't understand. Sometimes we don't even know what we're asking for. Often we do receive answers to prayer. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that more often than not, God's not going to answer. I'm saying God is going to answer unless it's something that would damage you. God is going to answer. But sometimes God waits to answer because there's a purpose to the waiting. It's a building process. It can be a capacity thing. It can involve other people. There's also a timing involved to answers. When God brings something to pass, it does involve timing. It often involves other people, and it often involves a geographic location. Somebody, somewhere, sometime. That is involved in the will of God. Somebody, somewhere, sometime. And if those three things aren't lined up, God's not going to make things happen. Because God's desire is to line those things up to make His perfect will happen. And so God will have you wait at times. Now, in God's eyes, you're not waiting at all. In God's eyes, yesterday is just the same as tomorrow. But in our experience, we end up waiting. Realize that. In our experience, we end up waiting, not in God's. God can put something into tomorrow just as easily as He can put it into today. He puts it in the best place. And so He puts it into tomorrow. And we may say, okay, I have to wait. God says, I don't have to wait. You have to wait. Because to Him, it's done, even though it's tomorrow. Because tomorrow is the same as today. And so you may have to wait. You may get discouraged sometimes. Don't let that happen to you. Have an eternal perspective on things whereby you recognize that God is doing the same thing from the beginning all the way to the end, and that which you are involved in is part of it. It's just not completed from your perspective. You haven't gotten there yet. But that challenges people. And sometimes that can challenge people all the way to them quitting their life with God, going headlong into sin because they got discouraged and their emotions responded negatively to the discouragement. The solution for that is very simple, and this is one of the things that God gave first and foremost. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Hope deferred makes what sick? The heart sick. You love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You will love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God is imperative, but not just because God wants somebody to like Him. Loving God is imperative for your sake, not His. God is complete love in and of Himself. If there was no person on earth, if there was no angel in existence, God is complete love in and of Himself. He expresses it to us, yes. He desires to express it, yes. But changing the fact that God is love doesn't happen. It's not changeable. And so it's not because God wants us to love Him for His sake, God wants us to love Him for our sake. The reason is because in 1 Corinthians 13, love is first patient and then it is kind. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Why? Because there is a lack of love. If there is a lack of love, it will corrupt, it will damage your frame of reference. You have to maintain in your frame of reference the love of God. Both for you, yes, but also your love toward Him, not for His sake, for yours. Why? Because love is patient and kind. Let's say that God needs you to wait in your experience. Again, in His experience, it's already completed. But in your experience, because you do go through time moment by moment, God sees the whole thing right in front of Him all at once. His experience is very different than ours. But because you do go moment by moment, you have to spend some moments before you get to where God says the completion is, whatever it is that you're waiting for. Love is patient, and love is kind. Why does hope get deferred? Why does hope get put off? Why is hope over there and discouraging to us when it's not fulfilled? Because there's a lack of patience. Patience protects hope. Hope is confident expectation. So you could say confident expectation put off weakens you, but it doesn't have to. Patience will protect your confident expectation. If I am patient toward God, then that which I am confidently expectant of from Him, I'm not going to let that get weakened. That is protected because I have patience toward God. Why do I have patience toward God? Because I'm looking at things from an eternal point of reference. I can see that God is doing things from beginning to end. I can see that there is a plan. I can see that there's a purpose, including in the wait. There's a temptation sometimes to think that the waiting process is a time of nothingness. That's not true. The waiting process is one of the times of greatest activity on God's part. God is making things happen while we wait behind the scenes. And so we're waiting, we're thinking, well, it's not coming, nothing's happening, it's not coming. God looks at us like, what do you mean nothing's happening? Are you crazy? It's like building a house. The construction workers get there, the foreman gets there, the architect draws up all the plans, everything is ready, and you come the first day of construction, you say, okay, where is it? And the guy says, what do you mean, where is it? Nothing's happening, there is no house, where is it? And the guy says, what do you mean nothing's happening? We're working like crazy, we got to build this house. Are you kidding? This is a lot of work. Where is it? Well, you got to wait for it. Building you takes time, too. So you got to wait for it. If you have love for God, you will have patience toward Him. If you have patience toward Him, that will protect your confident expectation against things like disappointment, against getting weary in the way, against a sick frame of reference, a frame of reference that's been weakened. Patience will protect you. If you are kind toward God, sometimes we don't recognize that love is patient and kind toward God. Why would I have to be patient and kind toward God? Because He's doing something. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's why. If I am kind toward God, in 1 Corinthians 13:5, I will not think evil of God. There are people who at times will have to wait and they say, well, God's not going to do it. God said He would. He's not going to do it. He's not going to answer my prayer. God's not going to do it. Well, you've just accused God with a satanic accusation, calling Him a liar. The promises of God, God's not going to do that for me. It's not going to come through. Every promise of God is yea and amen. The word of God is truth. You just called God a liar. That's a demonic accusation. That's very unkind. That's actually quite cruel toward God. It's not only cruel toward God, it's cruel toward other people because the attitude flows over and other people receive that negativity. By the way, negativity is something you absorb. Something negative happens, somebody says or does something negative, you have the choice to absorb it or not. When people get negative, when people get bitter, they've chosen to absorb it. You don't have to absorb negativity. You can just look at it and say, oh, that's negativity. That's a lot of nonsense. I'm not going to accept this. And it's not that you have to do anything about it per se. You just don't accept it. You don't run with it. You don't believe it. You don't accept it. Satan wants you to receive negativity toward God. And part of his method of doing it is when God has you wait, Satan accuses God with negative thinking. Well, love thinks no evil. Love does not accept thoughts from Satan's kingdom. Evil is a kingdom. Love does not accept thoughts from Satan's kingdom. Who is the accuser? Well, Revelation 12:10 says Satan is the accuser. A negative thought is a type of accusation. God's not going to do it is an accusation against God. God's not going to come through is an accusation against God. God doesn't love me enough is an accusation against God. God is not going to hold up to His word. I don't care. I see what the circumstances are. I see time. I see all these different things that I'm looking at. Why don't you stop looking all around you? Because He said, don't look to the left, don't look to the right. Why don't you just gaze on the brazen serpent? Why don't you gaze on Christ and you will protect your thinking? Love God and you protect your confident expectation. You will be patient with him, recognizing that God is doing something. You may not know what it is. Understanding on our part is not necessary. Understanding on God's part is immediate. It's a part of the process. Of course, God understands. He knows all things. You don't have to understand. You don't know all things. God does. As long as he knows what he's doing, we're okay. He always knows what he's doing. We're okay. Always. And so, you don't get impatient with God. You trust him because you love him. And then, you don't think evil of God. You don't receive Satan's accusations against him. Oh, God's not going to do it. Yes, he will. He said he would. He will. You might not know the details. Here's one of the things that gets us. We try to predict God. Well, I've been praying for this, or this is the promise that I received, or this is my call, or this is my vision, or what have you. And we try to predict how God's going to do it. And if we don't succeed in our prediction, then hope is deferred. We get discouraged. Our heart gets sick. You know what? I'll tell you right now, you will never be able to predict God. Never. Not once. Do you know why? Because in Isaiah 55, 8, 9, his ways and thoughts are infinitely above our ways and thoughts. His intelligence is infinitely beyond ours. The way that he goes about things is infinitely beyond ours. You can't predict him because you're using a human mind to predict an infinite divine mind. It's not possible. That's why you don't worry about if you don't understand. You just trust God, because understanding in its fullest is not really possible. I may understand elements, but I'll never really understand God. I just trust him because he loves me. That much I can understand. But even that takes growing into. Love God with all your heart. Often what God does involves other people. That's where you have to love other people. Sometimes God uses people as divine sandpaper. He's polishing you. He's making you into something. He's working his image in you. Have you ever seen somebody, let's say, work with metal? And the process is pretty rough. And then they take the sandpapers and the different things and they polish and they scrub and they polish. And when they're done, it is so shiny. But when they were working, it wasn't shiny at all. He wants to see his reflection in you. And one of the ways that he does it is he uses other people. Other people are frequently one of God's favorite tools. Well, that person's unkind. That person's rough. That person doesn't love me. That person, you can list a whole number of things, whatever it is. God says, exactly. That's why they're there. Well, that's not nice. Nice. Nice is for children. No, God is working in you. God is polishing you. God is taking off the edges and he's using other people to do it. Because God wants to conform us to his image in Romans 8:29, and his image is love. Love, as far as we go, is expressed toward other people. We can have the attitude toward God, yes, we can be patient, we can be kind toward God, but that's not a direct expression. The way that we love God is to love other people. Because they also, if they're Christians, are the body of Christ. And if they're unsaved, God's desire is to win them, to love them, to show them that he is love, to draw them to himself. So the way that we love God is by loving other people. That's our expression of love toward God. It's toward other people. So we're patient and kind toward them. In Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Now, how can I wait upon God? Waiting is not inactive. Waiting is an activity. And it's a picture of a waiter in a restaurant waiting on the customers. I'm there to see and to respond to what God desires. Now, He may have me standing off on the side for a moment, but I'm watching carefully and I'm occupied with Him entirely. And then when God desires for me to do something, I'll do it instantly because I'm waiting on Him. That waiting is not seen by a waiter as an inactivity. That waiting is seen as the appropriate activity so that the waiter will know when the need arises. Likewise with us. Waiting on God is the appropriate activity so we will know when God is moving, when God is doing something, when God desires something from us. That comes through waiting. Waiting can be very edifying if we're focused on our Savior in the waiting. But if I'm focused on something, let's say that I have a desire for healing, and I have to wait for healing. And I'm saying, man, I'm not getting healed. Where's your focus? I'm waiting to be healed, God. When's it coming? Where's your focus? You have focused on the healing. In fact, the healing has become an idol. Because I'm more concerned with the healing than I am with the healer. I'm not waiting on Him, I'm waiting on a healing. But if I wait on Him, then even though I may need healing, by being focused and centered on Christ, I'm still edified. I'm still strengthened. I still see His hand. But I'm waiting. If I'm just waiting on the healing, then I'll get discouraged if the healing takes a long time. They that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Because their focus, their concentration, their orientation is in the right place, and that edifies, that builds them, that makes them feel good. There's fullness of joy in the presence of God. In Habakkuk 2:3, the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. In other words, it'll come. The message will come about. It'll come. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. What does that mean? It means when God makes things happen, they happen on a dime. One day, things happen. Just like that. You got up that day, you had no idea. One day, things happen. One day, your life changes. One day, God brings answers. One day, you're healed. One day, the fulfillment of whatever it is takes place. When things happen, they happen quickly. God is not slow when you're ready. When things happen, they happen fast. One day in Genesis 21:2, Sarah was pregnant with a son. Now, Sarah, when she got pregnant, was not a young woman. She was an old woman. Sarah was 90 when she got pregnant. Nobody has children in their 90s. Sarah did. How did that happen, God? One day, Sarah was pregnant. She didn't think so. When God told her she would have a son, she didn't believe Him. She laughed at Him. Then it happened. One day things happen. That's the thing. One day things happen. The world changes on a dime. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, talking about the rapture, in a moment, this is how it happens. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, a twinkling of an eye, scientists have actually measured that. It's 11 one-hundredths of a second. So 1/10 of 1 second about. This is how fast it will come. It'll come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. People will be going about their business. The Bible says it will be a time of extraordinary ordinariness. That's why I don't think the rapture is going to happen within the next however long. Nobody knows when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen soon. That much we do with reasonable expectation know. But nobody knows the date. But the Bible does give us clues. It says people will be getting married. People will be conducting business. It says two people will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. That means they're going about their ordinary lives. The world is going to be ordinary. People get married in ordinary times. People conduct business in ordinary times. People work on their jobs in ordinary times. One day it'll just happen. It says nobody will expect it to happen, but the world will change on a dime. One day it will happen. In Genesis chapter 6, when the flood came, there was a first raindrop. The world had never seen rain before. But there was a first raindrop. Noah was telling people for 120 years, there's going to be a flood. They didn't believe him because in their minds he was saying the sky is going to fall. One day it fell. It happened on a dime. Imagine that day. The flood wasn't slow. The flood was really fast. By the end of that day, every human being and every land-dwelling animal was dead. It happened on a dime. It happened very fast. It happened one day. One day, Christ was born. One day, he died. One day, he rose. One day, God decided to create the heavens and the earth. There they were. Happened quickly. One day, he created Adam and Eve. One day, they finally decided, I'm going to eat from this tree. It all happens quickly with God. One day Abraham was born. One day God told him, get out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, go into Canaan. It happens very quickly. God's plan takes place very quickly. Be patient, because when it comes quickly. God doesn't wait when the fullness of time comes. Then it happens fast. I can't imagine what it was like at that first raindrop. I think people were probably pretty puzzled. You know what I think probably happened? Somebody either saw or felt that first raindrop and they looked up in the sky, where's the bird? I'd be willing to bet on that. Because that was the only water coming out of the sky. But then they saw a lot of drops and no birds. It happened. Answer to prayer is like that. The fulfillment of a call is like that. The answers of promises, when God brings a promise, it's like that. It happens quickly. One day. You were waiting all this time, waiting, and whammo, there it is. So the rapture is going to be like, that's how God operates. It all happens one day in a moment of time. Amen.
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.